Our goal as a Combatants for Peace is to give the people in Palestine, Israel, a new alternative, another alternative for the current situation, which is a peaceful solution between both sides and through non-violence way. That's basically our goal. And basically we use our past as example to show the new generation that dialogue could work and non-struggle violence could work. Non-violent struggle could work. I mean, especially when we struggle together, Palestinians and Israeli, in order to end the ongoing Israeli occupation and build Palestinian state next to the state of Israel.
What separates the Combatants for Peace from other organizations that strive for peace in the Middle East is the fact that it's constituted by ex-combatants. Ex-soldiers or activists. What can you tell us about that?
Yes, actually there are a few of peace organizations in Middle East, and recently we had maybe Combatants for Peace and bereaved families, that including Palestinian Israeli families that they lost someone from their family. I think we have a unique story. I can't say that we are the best organization around in the Middle East. It's just the fact that we are different because of our background in both sides. And, you know, the Israeli guys, they were in the Israeli army. And Palestinians, we were into militia or fighting somehow. And we were in the prisons for long years. And that make us having the ability to do things beyond the out of the box, let's say. So we doing things that maybe other organization, it's hard for them to do these things. For example, we just last week had presentation for the Combatants for Peace from both sides in Ramallah. It was in Palestinian area. And that's not easy for any Palestinian organization to bring Israelis to speak with Palestinian audience in the Palestinian city of Ramallah, or the opposite. Or we do also, we had a demonstration against what's called illegal settlements also 2 weeks ago. So we actually did, and we are doing this special effort out of our unique stories as ex-combatants from both sides. And that affected many people, and it had so much impact on the people on the ground, the new generation and so on, because already we show our loyalty to our nations on both sides, and we already fight each other. So we believe that as ex-combatants, if we can sit with each other and we can talk about things with each other non-violently as ex-combatants, as ex-combatants from both sides. So we believe that everybody can, it should be easier for other kind of people, you know, on both sides.
Of course, you say that the members of Combatants for Peace are ex-combatants. Are there any actual soldiers that are still on active duty right now?
Actually, the idea was for Combatants for Peace to recruit people from both sides that were fighting before, or they have military background or fighting background as Palestinians. So we have we don't have this strong conditions that you're supposed to be in the army and then to refuse to go to the army and go into this procedure again. But that was the main idea. But I think now we have members, all kinds of members, that some of them, they, after a certain time, they refuse to go to the army, to serve in the Israeli army in the Palestinian occupied territories of 1967 borders. That's the rules of Combatants for Peace. Now, beyond that, we don't have problem basically of any state having army. We are not naive. We know that every country needs army. But what we actually calling for that not to serve in the occupation system, not to serve in the occupation system in the army, military, or in the civil services. That's our stand. That's for the Israeli side. And let's say that most of the Israeli also, they either finish their duty in the army or they refuse, or they go do some other services for the, let's say, for the state. So they don't need to go to the army. Maybe some of them, they already refused to go to the army before the age of 18 or something. So there are all kinds of them. But the main group, I guess, the people that they were already in the army for 15 years or 10 years or 5 years, and they find out the crimes that happening under the Israeli occupation for, against the Palestinians, so they decide to refuse to continue serving the Israeli occupation, 1967 border, even though they love their own people and they believe that what they did, it's also for their own people, not just because they, you know, show solidarity with Palestinians. And for Palestinians, we don't accept any members that they still, like, believe, let's say, they come to talk with the Israelis and then they go fight them. It doesn't work, you know. So usually members are coming already, let's say, agree on nonviolence struggle, or sometimes we had some people that we need to talk to them a few times over a few months to recruit them or to convince them in our way, and it takes time, which is important because we don't want just to talk to the people that already believe in peace and two-state solution and peaceful solution, you know.
Combatants for Peace, if I'm not mistaken, was formed in 2005. How many members do you have now?
Actually, we started secretly in Bethlehem in 2005, but formally we formed in 2006, and now we have a few hundreds of members. I don't know exactly the number, but we have a few hundreds of members and thousands of supporters in the country here in the Middle East and around the world. Actually, we're based on individual activism and initiatives. It's not really, let's say, like party or movement of and structure and so on. We have a committee from both sides. We have two coordinators from both sides in equal base. And we have one office for both sides also. It's because it's a joint organization. And then we have a few branches between two cities from Palestine and Israel. So these kind of groups on the ground, they are doing meetings on the ground, they are doing solidarity activities on the ground, demonstrations, whatever, on the ground. So it's together all like a few hundreds of people that affiliated with combatants now.
It's more like a movement without a formal membership.
Kind of. We have a formal membership also. Now we are trying to organize this. So, but we don't have enough, let's say, we don't have a few, for example, employees to work in the office so they can organize the membership stories and the papers and all this bureaucratic thing. So we more like, yes, individual.
Is there a difference in numbers regarding sides? I mean, are there more Palestinians in the organization or more Israelis?
I guess we are kind of equal. It's not conditioned to be equal by the number, because as much as we can recruit people, we do. But I guess we are really kind of equal. And sometimes it's up down. Sometimes we have more Palestinians, sometimes more Israeli. So.
You said you conduct lectures and classes for people. For example, you just mentioned what you did in Ramallah, if I'm not mistaken. What are some of your practical projects? What else do you do? I mean, besides lectures, which is of course important.
We work in different levels. Firstly, the most important thing that we work inside the organization itself, which is meetings between ex-fighters from both sides. It's very important process for our members, the new ones especially. That's one level, and that including the main committee, the central committee, the planning committee. We had also the five groups on the ground, which is five, I mean 10, because it's five from both sides. So every group had like 15 members. These five groups also, it's called the small groups in the south, north, west, whatever. Like, for example, we have Tul Karim, Tel Aviv group, Hebron, Beersheba, Tel Aviv group, with Jerusalem and Ramallah group. So these kind of groups are really important now, and they go into a process of meetings and dialogue and so many other activities and visiting each other and social activities also for a long time, let's say, in order to let the new members to pass through similar procedures that the old members did. That's the main activity, I think, and that keeps the organization strong and recruiting more new people and so on. Second, we have other activities, the action on the ground. In this case, we do so many activities like olive harvest, for example, during the olive harvest in Palestine to show solidarity with the Palestinian people, especially in the places that are surrounded by settlers. We had this is the second level, and sometimes demonstrations, I mean peaceful demonstrations, whatever, showing solidarity. Mostly it happened for Palestinians, mostly. I guess one time I wasn't being there, but I guess they also visited Zerot, which is near Gaza Strip, in order also to see the situation there, as the city were attacked by Palestinian missiles, like homemade missiles, with Qassam rockets. So I think there were one visit there. Third thing, we do also lectures and presentations inside the Israeli communities, universities, or private houses, or whatever, where any people invited us to talk, or we go and speak inside Israel and Palestine and internationally. And also we did Memorial Day, Alternative Memorial Day. This is known as a historical day, let's say important day in Israel, for all the people that killed during the conflict. But it's just for the Israeli side. But what we do the Alternative Memorial Day, that's for the memory of the all victims from in Middle East, from both sides. It's very new. We did this like 3 years ago, and 2 years ago, and last year. So it's kind of a brave activity, because these kind of people that killed, in the eyes of the other side, they are criminal. So it's not easy, you know, to cross this border. But we did, actually, and we did also, I'm doing also other activities like outside, speaking tours in the States mostly and in Europe.
My next question is regarding the subject you just opened. How does the public feel about what you do? I mean, the political situation in the Middle East is so complex that I'm sure it's very strange for people to see ex-combatants talk to each other instead of shooting each other. How do, for example, let's start with Israelis. How does the Israeli public see what you're doing?
Okay, I could tell you about both sides. Okay, let's say like this, like we could divide like the society, even in both sides, for three groups, which is left and right and people in the middle, the mainstream. So I guess we had so many people really supporting us, directly or indirectly, and they love what we are doing. And there are a group of people, for sure, they are against any kind of contact between Israeli and Palestinians, and they want to fight forever. And you could find these groups in small groups in both sides, and they are minority, I guess. And they are the majority. This majority are not really like ideology and politically, like they are not really strong in their political stance, and their stance is up to the situations, the political situations. But this is very important group because they are the majority, I guess, which is like people that want to live normally and so on. So we got all kind of responses from the ones that they love us, like too much love they show for us. And we have this people that they see the combatants as like collaborators with the other side. Basically, in the Israeli side, we had more acceptance in the Palestinian side. As I told you, one of the problems that we could mention here that the Israeli group, because they are refusing it, so it's a big problem for the Israeli eyes. It is. So, but I guess it's by time we had more like acceptance for the Israeli group. For Palestinians, already I told you that we had already more acceptance in our society and in our political leadership, even in West Bank. I mean, for the Israelis, they face some difficulties with some people, and especially political people could be, and right-wing people. So that's the situation. So we face some difficulties and obstacles, and you know, we are not like really one of these organizations that's supported by governments. But we are not working against like the government, like, but in general, but there are no harmony here, maybe.
What about
especially for the Israelis? Yes.
What about the press? How does the press, for example, the local press in Israel and Palestine, and international press, how does it perceive you?
I guess we got the international press more than the local ones. As you know, especially the Israeli press, they are really ignorant about this kind of activities. They don't want to show this alternative for the people inside Israel. But we got sometimes like good covered by the local press and international press when we had certain activities. Sometimes, like in June 5, 2006, we did big demonstrations and the day of 40 years of the Israeli occupation for the Palestinians in 1967 war. So we got good press, for example, live in Al Jazeera, for example, the biggest Arabic channel, and in two Israeli channels. So sometimes we got good covered, but really mostly by international press more than the local one. That's true. And I guess we need to work more in order to be in the local media, especially the Israeli ones. Because people are ignorant, that's the problem. And they don't want to see the truth, like what's happening on the ground. That's the problem. And out of the wall, the separation wall, I guess, I give lectures in Tel Aviv myself because I speak Hebrew very well. And what you feel that many people, even with good intention, they believe now, like, you know, like Palestinians behind the wall and we are here and we are fine. While they are not fine because it's not really giving solutions for their security or for their life or for our needs of freedom or independence or so on. So we believe that there are no military solutions. That's the main idea of combatants for peace.
The combatants for peace, your main objective is dialogue, that through dialogue you can achieve peace. Do you have any practical political solutions for the Israeli-Palestinian conflicts? I mean, you said you mentioned the borders from 67.
Yeah.
What else?
Yeah. Okay. We are not leaders. We are not representing formally the Palestinian Israeli people, you know. So we are just like grassroots movements, let's say, that seek peaceful solution between both sides and nonviolent solution. And we believe that there are no military solutions for this conflict. So we don't have political plan exactly, but basically we have maybe three principles that we agreed upon, which is end the Israeli occupation, end the violence in both sides, and Palestinian state in 1967 borders. We basically support the idea of two-state solution, but I could tell you that we don't talk a lot about this. We don't care anymore if it's one-state solution, two-state solution. It doesn't matter for us. For us, the most important to build a bridge and a trust between both sides, not to build wall and, you know, separation and the checkpoints and, you know, to end the occupation, to end the violence, and to educate our people for, like, non-violence culture, like, between both sides here. That's basically our ideas about political solution. But there are also some people, they have, inside the group, they have different opinions, you know.
Do you feel that the international community should be more harsh towards Israel? I mean, how do you feel about the inactivity of the European governments when it comes to Israeli military operations in the Palestine region?
Actually, now, after the elections in the States, we see that there are hope. Even we don't wait for the politicians to come to solve our problems here. We take the initiatives by our hand. And we believe that we have the ability to change the reality here. But still, the international community are very important for us. For us more, we are connected to the civil society in the U.S., in Europe. We are not waiting for the government because, you know, they have all them their own political agenda and interests around here, especially when it comes to Israel. So we know that this international community, they are not doing enough in order to achieve peace in the Middle East. Even now, we see that Obama, I guess my personally, I see Obama in the right direction. And I guess Europe is like just, unfortunately, but they are just following the United States policy. And it happened during Bush time, and now with Obama, I feel there are somehow change in the European policy toward Israel. It's not enough. It could be like just supporting the policy of the new American administration. And for sure, we feel really bad. We feel pressure because the international community, they are not giving the Israeli system enough pressure to stop the occupation and everything, you know. And if it was some other country, it will be different, you know. But when it comes to Israel, for many reasons, they are afraid to critique the Israeli government, which is a really big problem for us. As Palestinians mostly, we feel injustice. That's what we feel when it comes to our case.
Mr. Khatib, I would like to end the interview with your personal story. I mean, what is your situation? What was what brought you to Combatants for Peace?
Okay, and I will end it also with optimism words because I'm my nature, I'm optimistic. My personal story, in very short, I start my struggle against the Israeli occupation when I was like 12 years old. You know, I start with throwing stones, cocktail Molotov. Finally, I create a group of students for fighting the Israeli army. And when I was 14, with another friend, we used knife to stab the two Israeli soldiers. It ended with slightly wounded, both of them. So then I ended in the Israeli prison from the age of 14 and 5 months. They sentenced me for 15 years, and they closed my house for all the time in the prison. And then... So during the prison, I developed my political views, and I read books about my history and their history, and I studied Hebrew, even it was like your enemy's language. But it led me to know more about Jewish also history and, you know, Holocaust, everything. And I left the prison like in 1997, early, after Oslo agreement. And I have another experience. It was the first experience in my life with Israeli, with normal Israeli people. I mean, not soldiers, not army. In 2004, I joined. They chose me to be one of the four Palestinian and four Israeli. They sent them through an organization called Breaking the Ice to spend together 1 month in Antarctic for adventure, like, you know, to in seek of being together far away from Middle East. That was my first experience with the Israelis, and it affected me. In 2005, I started being one of the people that started Combatants for Peace. That's very short.
How did you get along in the Antarctic?
In Antarctic? I guess it was my first experience, so it was wasn't easy for me to be with Israeli people, but I speak Hebrew, and you know, it was because we were far from Middle East, and we didn't know the news from Middle East, so you should like take care of each other there. That's what happened. But although we have arguments all the time and sometimes difficulties, but I can tell you from my experience, like it was really a good experience to stay together 1 month. We are eating together, staying together, talking in a formal way. And that makes, for example, one of the Israeli participants to change her views towards Palestinians. And that gives me hope and motivation to meet more and more Israelis everywhere. And now I don't have a problem to meet Israelis, even inside Israel, not just outside.